Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Whether you're an individual who has children yourself, or you work in a classroom or another situation, you have undoubtedly been in the situation where you have said to a youngster, "Sit down over there." And that kid has immediately been very obedient, but you know very well, as that youngster has put his posterior on that chair, that youngster is standing up on the inside. Well, you don't have to be a youngster to experience that, do you? We've all experienced that, I think. It's a form of external obedience, while on the inside there is the fire of unwillingness. You know, it's that way with Christians. Or it very well can be that way with people who find themselves in the confines of the visible body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the interesting things that we find in Scripture is the fact that a willingness to follow God can be an evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit. But that willingness in and of itself alone is not enough. There must be a doing of the will of God along with that willingness. We must both be willing and doing God's will. And that's what our text this morning talks about. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Let's look at what Paul has to say about this combination of things in our text and how it brings us to a doing of God's good pleasure. Yes, God is at work within the believer. Paul tells us this. And God is at work in a profound way, first of all, to produce a willingness. Prior to the introduction of the Holy Spirit into the life and being of an individual, there is an inveterate hostility towards God which is present. The Scriptures are very clear about this. In Romans 8, the classic picture, Paul tells us that the mind of the flesh is hostile towards God. And it is unable to submit itself to the law of God. And that it is impossible for the individual without the Spirit of God to please God. And so you see, before the introduction of the Spirit of God into the life and being of an individual, there is this deep-rooted hostility. And the amazing thing that Paul tells us in this particular text is that God is at work in you, first of all, to produce a willingness, a compliance to the things of God. If you turn with me to Psalm 110 and verse 3, we see this in the Old Testament text, Psalm 110, which speaks about the Lordship of Christ. Psalm 110 and verse 3. Thy people will volunteer freely in the day of thy power. I think the King James Version says something like this. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In other words, when individuals truly recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the fact that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In their hearts is worked a willingness by this King to serve Him. And that's one of the ways we can identify true Christianity, is by a true willingness to submit to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to bow before Him. And this is what Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 is telling us, that God is at work within the believer to produce, to effect a willingness, a compliance on the part of those individuals. But as we get into this, I want to be very clear about something that has to do with this willingness. It appears from Scripture that it is possible for those who are in unbelief to also express in their lives a form of willingness, a form of compliance. And I want you to see this because I think it's very important. Because as we get into this subject, what Paul is doing in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 is tying two things together. And he is very clear. He says, "For God is at work within you, to work both a willingness and a doing of the will of God." So I want to look at a couple of texts that have to do with unbelievers and their willingness, at least for a time, to follow the things of God. I'd like you to turn, if you would, in your Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verses 33, 34, and 35. Now, this is a little text that shows how some of the Jews were willingly following John the Baptist. John 5, 33. "You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. But the witness which I receive is not from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light." Here came John the Baptist, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying to men and women, "You must repent and turn and follow the living God." And there were those who were willing for a while to rejoice in what John the Baptist had to say. You see, for a time there was a kind of compliance and kind of willingness. But this willingness in no way proves that these individuals are children of the living God. In fact, it appears that this willingness was not born of the Spirit, but was of the flesh, and it was only for a time that these individuals followed what John the Baptist had to say. Then I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Here is a parable which the Lord Jesus sets before us, beginning in verse 28 in Matthew 21. You'll remember it as we read it. The situation is a little reversed if you have the King James Version, but that's all right. Matthew 21, 28. Jesus says, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered and said, I will, sir. And he did not go. And he came to the second and said the same thing. But he answered and said, I will not. Yet he afterward regretted it and went. Which of the two did the will of the Father? They said, the latter. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you that the tax gatherers and harlots will get into the kingdom of God before you. You see, there was a willingness expressed to do the job by the first son. But that willingness was not coupled with action. And that's the whole point, isn't it? That there can be in the heart of the unbelieving individual a kind of willingness and a kind of submission to the things of God, which is external, like that little child to whom we say, sit down. And that child does sit down, but on the inside you know full well that that child is standing as erect as he possibly can. And we can do that very same thing here. And I think that is the point which we need to grasp. You see, there can be an external compliance on our part to submit to the external things of the church of the living God, to come and sing, to hear the preaching of the word. But that external willingness is not followed by a doing of the Word of God. I want to go to Romans chapter 7 again. And if you turn with me there, I want you to see the dilemma in which the Apostle Paul finds himself in this section of Scripture. You know I'm continually going back here, but I think for good reason. In Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 19, listen to the dilemma in which Paul acknowledges he finds himself. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For that which I am doing I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which indwells me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish I do not, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. The huge dilemma in which Paul acknowledges that he finds himself. And of course, that's the very hopeful thing in Romans chapter 7. Paul knows, he acknowledges, he understands there is sufficient light for him to know the dilemma in which he finds himself. He says in verse 18, the wishing is present, but the doing is not. And folks, this is exactly opposite to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. There has been some progress made in the life of the Apostle Paul because he sees his dilemma. And I would say to you this morning that it is hopeful for you and it is hopeful for me when we see our dilemma. But simply seeing the dilemma is not enough. It cannot be enough. We cannot persist in a state in which we say to ourselves, I want to be different, but I know right well it is not possible for me to act in any other way than I am acting. I cannot, I will not do anything in the direction of following the living God and keeping His commandments properly. Is this what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13? Turn back there now. And look at what he says. He says, "For God is at work in you both. God is not at work in you only to produce a willingness, folks. He is at work in you both," Paul says in verse 13, "to will, to produce a willingness, and to work." And that word "work" is very interesting. That word "work" can be translated like this: produce, bring about an effect. God is at work in you both to produce a willingness within you and to produce an effect within you. God is energizing you and making you willing to do His good pleasure, and also in you to cause you to work out that good pleasure, if indeed you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like you to look at it from the perspective of Ephesians 2:10. In Ephesians 2:10, the Apostle Paul says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You know, that's a tremendous promise of God, that God has prepared beforehand good works for you to walk in. Now, how is He bringing that about? Well, in one way, God is bringing that about by working in you His mighty power to produce in you a willingness, a compliance, a desire to do those good works, and also the producing, the working out, the acting out of what He has foreordained should come to pass. Now, I don't know how that grabs you, but I'll tell you what, that is powerful. This is God's work. This is God's work in you as a believer. God is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. I'd like to turn back in the Old Testament to one of my favorite texts in Ezekiel 36 in this regard. In Ezekiel 36 and verse 27. And again, I can't help but believe this is a most powerful presentation of the gospel. Ezekiel 36, 27. "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." You see, the Bible does not say that God is going to put His spirit in individuals to simply give them a willingness to do things. God says He's going to work within an individual, and working on the inside of an individual, cause them from the inside out, working to be very careful to follow the living God. And what does James say? The Apostle James tells us, don't be deluded, don't be deceived, and only be a hearer of the Word of God. Because those who are hearers of the Word of God and not doers of the Word of God are deluded. You see, it is very, very important that there be placing, that there be a placing together in your life and in my life, this willingness and this compliance before the living God, and also this doing of the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to do it perfectly, nor am I saying you are going to do it perfectly. We know better than that. And Paul admits that in Philippians. He says he's not attained, he's not come to perfection. And in this life, we will not. But I guess the great burden of my heart in all of this, if you haven't discerned it yet, is simply the fact that if God is genuinely at work in the midst of us as a people of God, has taken up residence in your life can't remain the same. It is absolutely impossible for it to remain the same. God is at work in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. And it's interesting, isn't it, that the apostle in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 talks about the good pleasure of God. Look at that text again. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Isn't it God's desire, God's will and God's pleasure, which ought to be preeminent in your life and in my life? The Old Testament prophet says that the Holy Spirit of the living God will come upon individuals and indwell individuals to cause them to walk in God's statutes, God's commandments. You see, God doesn't come to you and to me and indwell you and me so that you can do whatever you feel like. That's not how it works. I think I've used this example before, but it is such a striking one that I'm constrained to use it again. I remember very well a man who I helped into the ministry, sitting in the same room with me as he lived in an adulterous situation. And he said to me, "Denny, I feel more married now than I have ever felt within my entire life." Those feelings didn't mean a thing, because the fact of the matter was, this man was living in adultery, and he had taken vows before God to remain faithful to another woman, and he was standing in blatant violation of those vows. And how he felt didn't matter a bit. You see, God doesn't come to us to tickle our feelings and allow us to do whatever we feel like. He is at work within you to will and to work for not your good pleasure, but for His good pleasure. And what does that mean? Well, the Lord willing, we're going to get to this, but a good example comes to us in verse 14. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Well, you can back me off now, because that's the will of God. That's for you and for me. And I've got some work to do in that area. But God is at work in me, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Let's look at it from another perspective. The perspective of the Ten Commandments. You know as well as I do that the Ten Commandments are a perpetual and abiding moral standard. They were given to God or to Moses by God in a very specific fashion. But we know that they reach back into the Garden of Eden and they reach forward into the New Testament. And we're going to look at a text again in just a moment to see that. And wonder of wonders, those commandments, wonder of wonders, present to us the good pleasure of God. And as God slowly but surely works within you both to will and to do those commandments, what happens in your life? Slowly your life changes from that old life which is centered in self to become more and more conformed to the righteousness and the holiness of the living God. God is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do you suppose it is possible that He is at work within you to do something which is contrary to those great commandments which He has given? No. Just like this man who sat before me and told me he felt more married then than he had ever felt in all of his life. God wasn't doing that. That wasn't the will of God. It couldn't be the will of God. So blatantly contrary to the commandment of God, you shall not commit adultery. You see. Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 8, where we read just a little bit ago. Hebrews chapter 8. And look at the great promise of the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. It'd pay you to go back and read that entire chapter again. But zero in on verse 8 now. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them upon their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. In fulfillment to that promise, dear friends, God is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. He inscribes those commandments on your heart and inwardly works to bring your life into conformity to that outward standard, which is all righteousness. What a tremendous work of God. And when you begin to walk in those commandments, there comes to you an evidence of the fact that God is at work within you. I say it is an evidence. It is not a proof positive. It is an evidence. Because there are those who walk in this world and attempt by might and main to live a morally upright life. But that life is not built upon anything of the grace of God within. The difference here is we speak of an evidence, and we speak of the work of God within, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. If this is what God is doing, and the Scriptures are very plain, if this is what God is doing, what are you doing? What are you doing? What is your life like? You may feel free to ask the same question of me. Look again at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Here is what we are to be about. Listen to these words. They are the word of God to you and to me. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, help us this morning in a new way to begin to grasp the greatness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the work that you do by the power of your Holy Spirit. Grant that blessing, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.